Happy Wheel Wednesday. Listen, can we just start out the podcast by throwing out a shout out to the tremendous skill that it takes for the driver in California in the Subaru that launched it into the second story of a house?
Yeah, that's they pay actors a lot of money to do stuff like that.
This person did it pro bono.
It's crazy.
Right into the second story. I mean, it's unbelievable. If you guys haven't seen this, the story is on Jalopnik, and it was wild. And I hate this chair. I always get this chair every... This is ridiculous. Anyhow. So with that said, it's unbelievable. Like, the skill.
What Subaru was
it? So is it luck or skill?
I don't know, but what Subaru was it?
It felt like an Outback.
An Outback?
Yeah.
Wow, so they're going airborne?
Actually, the Outback ended up front.
Ah.
Out front.
Out front, yes.
Out front. Up so on the top.
Airborne Outback.
Airborne.
Outback. How do you...
You get a special patch for that.
How do you get to the second floor?
I mean, I can't tell you. I would imagine... I'm hoping that there was something to the effect where the house maybe sat lower than a driveway or something, and they, like, you know, it's mountainous terrain.
A hill?
Well, it's mountainous terrain. So, like, it's possible. There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
And that is how you do it, friends. Right there. My favorite part is...
That's crazy.
Yeah, it looks like they're just going to walk out.
Max, what does it say at the top? Somehow? Is that what the article says? Yeah. Somehow crashed? Driver somehow crashed.
We're not sure if it takes
crashed.
Tremendous skill or terrible luck. So shout out to that person. Hope you're all right.
Hopefully no one inside
but,
was injured.
If you are all right and the people in the house are all right, you know, a career change may be in line. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
So exciting things coming around. If you guys aren't subscribed to our YouTube channel and you are here, well, first off, welcome. Second off, if you are not subscribed to our YouTube channel and you're listening to us on either iHeartMedia, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, or Google Play, make sure you get over to our YouTube channel, Koenig Wheels, and get subscribed. We got some giveaways coming out, and they're kind of be centric around the release of the Ultragram. We've been talking about it for a little bit. Wheels are now confirmed that they're coming in, and we're going to start seeing some right around the end of the month and into the beginning of May. So make sure that if you're looking to pick this wheel up, not that I want to spend too much time talking about wheels, but in the same respect, make sure you get those pre-orders in, because that's going to be the difference. This happens every year. Every time we launch a wheel, you get to a point where, you know, you've worked hard on getting the wheel out. It finally shows up. Yes, it's usually delayed in the first. Anyhow, I'm not sure where we left off. But what we were talking about on the podcast, and I know that there will be kind of a little bit of reference. If you're getting back in, sorry, we had a little technical difficulty. Mm-hmm. But so here's the deal. Every year when we go to launch a wheel, there always ends up being that thing where there's a slight delay. Because any problems or whatever you're going to experience, it's going to happen in the first time you're producing a wheel, right? So we as we get into running production or doing tests, like, we may find little things that, you know, this isn't working as well as we hoped or whatever it is. And we resolve them, we fix them, we make sure it's 100%, and then we go into mass production. And so with that being the way things happen, if you know, sometimes we will have a delay in that first part of the production of that wheel. So that happened with the Ultragram. Obviously, what was supposed to be here at the end of March turned into the end of April.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a full month on that whole thing. But anyhow, we are...
Well, now they're inbound. They're here.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. No, like, I think the first wheels are landing next week.
That's great.
So, we have things, and that's why, like, you know, the one thing that happens, and the one part I'll talk about, you know, just cautioning people on, is if you're really looking for the Ultragram, we've heard it multiple times, people asking when they're coming out, or, like, this is the time to go place your back orders with dealers if they don't have it on the website, which is totally understandable because they're not in stock. And a lot of retailers, they only want to list wheels now when they're in stock.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem with this is that this happens to us for the past few years. This is how it goes. We talk about the wheel. Everybody says, oh, I can't get it. So they don't place their back orders. They don't call a dealer and say, hey, look, can you just get this wheel in order for me? Then the wheels come in, and as soon as they hit the websites for now being in stock, they're gone the next day.
Right.
And then we have to hear everybody say, where's the Ultragram? Well, yeah, but it's gone. How could it be gone? You just got them.
Right.
That's what happens. So if you're really into the wheel, you know, not that I want to sound silly, but like I'm saying it more from a, from an aspect perspective of
expectations or whatever it may be.
Right. And and listen, here's the thing. If you're reality. Like, if you're down to like be like, hey, look, I'm not going to order until they get in stock. And if they're not there, they're not there.
Mm-hmm.
Then good. Like, no problem. No problems. I just want to, you know, if you guys are listening to us, you're like the inbound crew, right? And so part of our crew here, we want to like give you the heads up. This is the deal. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool piece of content Max has been working on, which is trying to come up with a little bit more in-depth video of it. So if you are listening on the podcast or you've downloaded it and you're in your car somewhere, make sure you head over to our YouTube channel, because right now we're going to play kind of the video without the audio. Mm-hmm. And we'll kind of show you kind of what some of the B-roll and stuff like that looks like. And we should have this thing up on YouTube.
By the
end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be on our YouTube channel. Make sure you check that out.
Ultragram overview video.
Yeah, that's what it is. So Rich goes through some of the specs. He also goes through, I imagine, you know, Max is going to queue up in a few moments. But, you know, you go through the specs. You talked about the real wheel real quick. We talked about two new colors. We gave you some angles so you could see what A and B profile look like.
Mm-hmm.
You spoke about kind of the different, you know,
features.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, and, you know, one of the things is, like, we talked about how, you know, much intricate feedback we got from, you know, from a lot of our race teams and different things that allowed us to put that feedback into the wheel, really make it probably one of, I mean, I'm confident in saying that because I work so intricately developing the wheels and the designs, that I'm confident to say that this is the most amount of feedback and different, you know, use of technological things that we have ever done on a wheel. You know what I mean?
So, and would you be able to expand on that at all, or?
Yeah. So basically, the first thing we looked at was we wanted to make sure that we were giving a wheel that had increased its longevity and its lifespan. And the reason that is that, you know, when you have a wheel, there's always going to be a given lifespan, except it's not predefined like brake pads or a clutch or tires, right? Mm-hmm. Where it says, this tire will last 55,000 miles. This tire will last four. Wheels have a definitive lifespan. Unfortunately, the definition is going to be based off of your use, right?
Mm-hmm.
For example, I put a set of wheels in my car. Yep. I drive down the street. I hit a major pothole, swimming pool.
Super pothole. Oh, man.
Like, so much so that the pothole is wearing a cape.
So. Sounds like New York.
Right. So I and then immediately the wheel's lifespan is over. It's dead because
mm-hmm.
I destroyed it.
Yes.
Now, for those of you who are going to use, and I've seen this sometimes in the comments, and sometimes not to be mean, I'm just using it for an expression of speech here. When I read this comment, I want to slap people.
Ooh.
Yeah. Maybe the guy was right on the live we just did.
Chose violence today?
Maybe I did.
Well, what's the comment that makes you feel that type of way?
When people say, if it was this wheel, that wouldn't have broke. If it was this wheel, that wouldn't have bent. Right? That's a stupid comment. Yeah. Let me tell you why. Because wheels are metal. They're not magic.
Hey,
and
heard that one before.
I understand. So, and when you queue up a wheel and you enter into an area where a wheel sustains
mm-hmm.
an impact or some sort of road hazard that's significant to mm-hmm. the point where it causes the wheel to damage, that's not 90, I would say 90% of the time. I want to say 90% of the time.
Yep.
That's not a reflection of the quality wheel. It's a multitude of factors. How the wheel encountered damage, how the wheel kind of you know, entered into, like, where the impact occurred, what kind of tire pressure was on there, what size tire was on the car, what kind of suspension was on the car, you know, multitude of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're being asked to, you're trying to direct a general statement to this wheel. Now, a lot of casting technology and even, you know, some of the you know, a lot of the forgings and stuff like that, the quality is very good. It's not like it was 20 years ago, 25 years ago, where, you know, you had those issues where, you know, maybe there was small defects in some of the construction and stuff like that. A lot of...
Do you feel there's too much of a stigma behind cast wheels nowadays?
Well, I think no, I don't know that I feel that there's a stigma behind cast wheels, because I think the majority of people, they don't really even think about it. They just look at wheels, right?
So, well, what about the, say you're above average consumer, the person who's looking at wheels, uses it for an everyday basis kind of thing for their commuter car.
Yeah.
Right? But they know what some wheel brands are, and, you know, they know a quality product can be, and they're looking at the top of line product, because, you know, that's how buyers naturally want to start, look at the top and then go down from there.
Okay.
And, like, do you think that they are more put off by the idea of a cast wheel rather than a flow form or forged, because it's just out there so much now?
You know, I think it really comes down to use and budget.
Right? Course. No, I mean,
like,
definitely.
I mean, like, to me, like, I never... Being even a wheel guy myself, I never look at a wheel and go, "Oh, it's cast." What, like to me, I'm like, well, "All right, well, where's my budget? What do I want to spend? What am I looking for?"
Well, so I guess more or less the question I would get is, because, you know, I'll be answering some of the people on social media like that, right? You know, so some questions I get will be, "Hey, like, you know, will this wheel?" They might say any kind of wheel, may, you know, whatever name they end up using for whatever model.
Yep.
They go, "Is this wheel good enough or strong enough for my everyday use or whatever?"
Yeah, I mean, like, that's it. So here's the thing,
and then the follow up ends up being, "Well, is it going to be more sturdy or whatever compared to a forged wheel?"
Right,
and it's like, you know the answer already to it, but what are you going to be using it for?
Well, see, here's the thing. I don't know the answer to it, and I'll explain what I mean, but okay. Go ahead.
No, yeah, but I was going to just say, like, you know, what are you using the wheel for? And, you know, I mean, when you're comparing it to a forged wheel, it seems like you already know what the difference is, but do you need that?
Well, so, and so I'll counter that, and I'll counter that with an opinion of, and look, I mean, at this stage, we make wheels that are across the spectrum of build quality. I mean, not build quality, of construction type,
yes.
Right? So we make, you know, traditional cast wheels. We make flow-formed wheels. We make forged wheels.
Mm-hmm.
So now the question really is there, you know, how do you decide? Like, you know, people say, "Oh, forged wheels are stronger." Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't think we're using the right words. This, to me, is the same kind of argument as we talk about where the world's fastest car or the world's quickest car.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they sound the same.
Sure do.
Not the same. Right? You can have a car that has the most amount of power, right? The most powerful car. It can make a million horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
If it can't get down the drag strip in a quarter mile, you know, faster than a car that makes 1,000 horsepower,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter. It's not... It could be the most powerful car, but it's not the fastest car, because does that make
of
sense?
Course.
What I'm saying?
Yes.
So to me, you have to understand that there's a real thing here, and it's called load rating, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you make a wheel, to a given load rating, and then you also test that wheel with certain standards.
Yeah.
I think if I'm going to choose the two factors that will impact how strong or sturdy a wheel is, and mm-hmm. I'm using those words, strong, sturdy, it has to do with those two elements.
Mm-hmm.
Because load rating is going to be the majority of it.
Yep.
I mean, the truth is, if you put a wheel that's 1,300 pounds load rated on your car,
mm-hmm.
and your car, let's say, only really needs, let's say, a wheel that's, you know, 1,200 pounds load rated.
Yeah. Well, let's start here. So if a person's watching this and you're talking about load rating,
yeah.
I mean, so how does that person know, that the wheel has enough load rating or their car for, to take on their car.
So the easiest way to start with your vehicle is to look at the door placard on your door there, and your car will list weight by axle weight, not gross vehicle weight. Do not use the gross vehicle weight as your standard use of determining what kind of wheel you need for load rating.
So axle weight.
Yeah, so you want to find the front and rear axle weight. They're usually on the door placard, and on that placard, it's going to say front axle weight, rear axle weight. What you want to do is you want to find the heaviest axle divide by two.
Okay.
That is going to give you
the load rating.
The load rating that you need for your vehicle.
For per wheel.
Right.
Yeah.
So now what I'm going to say is this. You know, going back to this whole strong thing before we get to construction is that, you know, if we make a, if there's a wheel that's load rated 1500 pounds.
Yeah.
And let's say there's a regular traditional cast wheel rated 1500 pounds.
Yep.
And then there's going to be a flow form wheel rated 1500 pounds.
Yep. Same.
And then there's going to be a forged wheel rated 1500 pounds.
All the same. Three of a kind.
In theory, the tests on those wheels all are applicable to that same load rating.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same as how much does 100 pounds of feathers weigh?
Well, that would be 100 pounds, Scott.
Right. So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Now let's go further. Test standards. Are they all at the same test standards?
No.
Now, so with the test standard. No, well, I mean, not always. Look, here's the thing. In North America, there's a, or America more specifically, United States, most manufacturers are going to build to an involuntary standard called J2530. It's an SAE standard, and yes, it's a good standard, okay? You've heard people harp on things like VIA standard and TUV standard and JWL. Well, here's the issue with this. VIA, if you're not manufacturing wheels that are going to be, let's say, in Japan, you don't necessarily need to have your wheel VIA certified because that is a Japanese certification that's going to end up only being needed for Japan. Now, we make wheels. We may make that wheel, if it's not going to Japan, we may make that wheel to exceed a VIA standard, right? Mm-hmm. Without having it necessarily VIA stamped or approved because we're not selling it in Japan.
Right.
JWL is a standard that you can apply to. Now, you've heard some people talk about the argument about VIA and JWL kind of being put on wheels even though they may not have the certification. So the deal with this is then VIA and JWL, they have the ability for you to certify and file a particular wheel with them. Because again, it's intended for, let's say, sale in Japan or whatever it may be, and that's what allows you to run. Really, that's when you're supposed to get that stamping of the VIA or JWL. But then there's this other thing, which is like our factories. Our factories are all, you know, VIA and JWL approved, meaning that if they have been audited at some point, they're project certified. So if they are to exceed the standards of the test and the test pass, that they are able to use stampings in many cases, whatever. So the reason I'm bringing up test standards is we got to say that they're all the same. Different regions have different testings and, you know, maybe a different impact test or a different bending test or whatever it may be, but they all have standards.
Yep.
So let's say all wheels are to the same standards.
Mm-hmm.
Forged now. Well, so now let's go back to the word stronger. I don't like using the word stronger. Forged, even with all these things given, same load rating, same whatever, the wheel is still engineered to that load rating.
Mm-hmm.
With whatever testing standards it was. So again, we're equal now.
Yep.
Does a forged wheel have more, higher tensile strength and better properties that allow it to have a long, much higher, resistance against fatigue?
The answer to that would be yes.
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 Now we're getting down to the product advantages. So if somebody says to me, hey, I have three wheels, 1500, you know, they're all 1500 pound load rated. Mm-hmm. Which one's stronger? My answer to them is, are we talking about a single hit? Or are we talking about over the course of X amount of years? Mm-hmm. Because if they're all run, let's say in a certain sense where they're going to experience different road hazards as time goes on, and metal flexes, right? Mm-hmm. We know that happens. Metal returns to its point. Every piece of metal has a certain amount of elongation. Mm-hmm. At some point, there's going to be a metal fatigue that will happen, which means that in addition to worrying about the pothole, we have to talk about what happens to a wheel over the course of use, let's say over 10 or 15 years time.
That would be fatigue.
Well, right, because the metal continues to work hard. And, you know, every day you go. Mm-hmm. And we've seen, listen, this is what I will say that the industry is seeing. You're seeing that wheels more than ever before are actually almost acting like a shock absorber.
Right. Now, that's because of, is it because of tires?
Well, so I think you got a multitude of issues. Mm-hmm. You got cars that are heavier than they've ever been before.
Wheels are coming at a standard bigger sizes.
That's fair. Yeah. Fair.
You know,
18, which means smaller profile tires.
18 inches, like the new 17 at minimum, right?
Right.
Like, you know,
I think so. Like, yeah, for sure. So you have a difference in ride quality, a difference of air cushion with the tires. Mm-hmm. You have tires that have much stiffer sidewall as the OEs are looking for a better performance and feel to make their cars feel sportier, right?
You mix all this stuff up in a pot, and what do you get?
Yeah. You get a wheel that has to now act as a shock absorber because it's got stiffer suspension, heavier weights mm-hmm. On the vehicle, all these different things. So now what happens is the wheel is now becoming more of a shock absorber than it's ever been before. Mm. And now we start to talk about wheel fatigue and different things like that. There always will be that situation where the life expectancy can be altered by the amount of stress a wheel sees throughout its lifetime. And does properties of the construction have everything to do with that? Absolutely.
Yep.
Right? Like a forged wheel has a much higher tensile strength, and it's going to have a better resistance against that metal fatigue. A flow form wheel in the barrel area is going to have that type of tightened grain structure. It's going to have a much higher ability to resist fatigue.
Yep.
Than the cast wheel. But again, all these wheels are strong enough to be used in the same setting, right? And that's, to me, that's the biggest difference. Am I generalizing? Can we nitpick this apart?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I'm not trying to say, like, hey, like, you know, no, there's a difference. There's a difference. But now, mm-hmm. now let's bring it back to real use. There's a budget here.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to drive my Civic every day back and forth to the train station, or if I'm going to drive my Civic and I commute 50 miles to work each way, I'm not going to spend the money for a forged wheel. I don't think it makes sense, right? Forged wheel, maybe $500 per wheel, whereas you can get, you know, this cast wheel for $130. That's a big difference. So I think it's use and function, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're circling way far back here, Rich.
Yeah, we are.
But now let's get into some of the things that we did on the Ultragram that I really feel that we've taken so many of these things into account.
Yeah.
So first thing is, if you look at the spoke of the Ultragram, you'll see that there's multiple layers of kind of this radiusing that happens where it meets the barrel. So what we're trying to do is you're trying to create extra strength within the spoke at the point where it would experience some of the most amount of stress,
mm-hmm.
right where it meets the barrel of the wheel, right where it meets that drop center. And we're trying to help it distribute the weight better into the rest of the wheel, because as we know, stress is going to translate through the wheel.
Yeah, shock.
Yeah. And so what happens is, you know, and a lot of people get this confused. They think if they have a dam, if they have damage in the back of a wheel.
Oh, it's a good one. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
That it came from the back of the wheel.
Right.
Not the case. The wheel translates, you know, kind of damage to the weakest spot for where it hits. Mm-hmm. You have an impact here. It goes through the wheel, kind of like a like an earthquake spreading out, and that damage will translate to where the wheel will flex, or you know, and that's the nature of all wheels.
So you're saying more or less the breaking point doesn't have to be where the impact is.
That's right.
Right.
The impact occurring doesn't necessarily correspond where the damage shows.
Yes.
Right. And so that's a lot of the time, you know, people get that confused. But so we have to think about that. So the idea here is that we're using that spoke to really plant and distribute some of that stress throughout the rest of the wheel and into the barrel and into the wheel more evenly to allow it to absorb.
It made me think of, in like barn houses where they have like the lightning rod to get the lightning. Yep. Like that's kind of what you just reminded me of.
That's a great example.
Yeah, like lightning hits the lightning rod and boom, right. Kind of disperses it. So it doesn't kind of do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, to me, I almost think about it in the same respect of like, you ever see people and they'll take a car and they'll try to do a jump in a car and they put all those cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
No, but I'm like, I mean, we say it's funny, but like, I know like Papadakis, you know, the racing, they did that with one of their drift Supras for the Supra commercial when mm-hmm. Toyota did it. And like, that's what they did. They had, you know, empty cardboard assembled boxes that essentially were stacked, you know, probably, you know, 10, 12 boxes high. You know, they had, you know, this massive width on it and they jumped the car into the boxes. And it's because the boxes, as they collapse, they start to absorb all the energy,
mm-hmm.
right? So, oh, yeah, look at that. So, I mean, look, boxes. I mean, everybody that thought I was kidding. I mean, look how the damage translates. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
so what were we trying to do? We're trying to do, thank God they got it that fast. I mean,
that's incredible.
Isn't it? Wonder what it looks like going into a row of boxes. That's wild. Papadakis Racing, they're the stuff.
It's a great looking car too.
Yeah, looks great in flight.
Yeah.
Stefan, man, he is so yeah. Cool. He was like, honestly, even growing up in like the drag racing days, like Stefan, like I waited. 2004, 2003.
Uh huh.
I remember waiting in line to get his autograph at a Naira event.
2004, yeah. I was probably...
2003.
I was probably doing intramural sports.
Yeah. No, I know. So bottom line is, you know, so what are we trying to do? We're trying to make sure that...
Were those stock wheels?
Yeah.
There they are, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We're trying to make sure that the shockwave gets distributed evenly. That's number one. Look, they even have
the weights in the back.
Well, they have to make sure the car doesn't nose plant because of the engine, right?
Yeah, fold in half, blow up. I don't
right.
know.
So, all right. So there's that. Then the other thing that we've done is we've tried to then carry that out, and we've changed the rear flange design on the Ultragram so that it can have a more rigidity back there.
Yep.
Now, I will say this. The wheel, we could have made the wheel a quarter to maybe 0.4 pounds lighter in many sizes. And we had a way out. What do we want to do? Put this new flange design into effect and know that our wheels are going to continuously have more reliability, more longevity, mm-hmm. and have a higher rigidity in that area. And we ultimately said, yeah, we're going to try this. We're going to put this out. We've tested it 7 ways from Sunday. We've done physical tests. We've done FEA over and over and over again. Like, we have made sure that there's little radiuses even within the spoke design, the barrel design, and on the rear flange to make sure this wheel has all that feedback put together. People talked about neural beading. For the race teams,
yes,
that's back on this wheel as a standard. If you buy a heliogram or you buy an ultragram,
you get neural beading.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that with stuff being ever changing, you know, always changing, I guess I should say, standard size wheels are kind of getting bigger by default. Tires are against different sidewalls and, you know, maybe thinner profiles on the tires and just different ways of being made, I guess, or whatever. Yeah. All these things are kind of adding to a kind of formula that's making it so that we need to make little bits of adjustments.
Yeah, I mean, I think the industry has, and I think you look. There's different ways to skin this cat.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying that this is now the Ultragram would be a product of these adjustments.
The answer to that is yes. But and again, a lot of the feedback we took came from motorsport, not from the street use.
Yeah.
Right? Because those guys are using the product in the harshest of harsh.
Yep.
The road racing guys that are going to experience problems, they're going to do it while they're, curb checking at 120 miles an hour. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's when they're going to experience the most amount of stress on a wheel and those sudden impacts. And so that's what we're using to try to decide, all right, what kind of things do we need to do? Where do we need to look at it? If you're racing hardcore, you're going to use wheels up, mm-hmm. right? And it doesn't matter what brand, what material, what construction. So our job is to then work with those teams to gain the feedback and look at the real data to determine, is that completely unavoidable within a given realm, or is that something that can be avoidable? And how do we make it avoidable? And yes, we're changing some of the product, and the industry is going to have to adjust with a lot of these vehicle changes and use changes, especially mm-hmm. with EV coming more and more into the picture.
Yeah, definitely.
But I will say that I think when it comes down to the wheel, like I said, a lot of different ways to skin the cat. You could just increase the load rating tremendously. What the heck is that?
What is what?
Thing on the back of that trailer.
I don't know.
Is that a fossil?
I don't know.
Looks like a dinosaur. It's a dinosaur egg, guys.
Something just went by our window, and we're not sure what it was. But I'll tell you this. Dinosaur egg. I don't have my glasses, so
they're going to public storage. I think it's a dinosaur egg.
It is going to public storage.
Either that or it's a sewer. I'm not really. I mean, now it's got an engine. Is that a big doghouse? A dog igloo.
It looks like an igloo. That's what I can get out of it. It looks like an igloo.
These people don't care. So what? Listen. So what I'm saying is, like, in theory, you want to come up with increase the strength and rigidity. You could also increase the load rating.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wonders why OE wheels are so damn heavy.
Because they have a higher load rating.
The load rating is astronomical.
Right.
The question is, do you want that? Do you need that? Does that help you? There's a reason that, an OE wheel may weigh 35 pounds. That's because it's load rated for, massive amount, 2,300 pounds.
A literal ton?
Probably getting close, right?
Yeah.
And so, performance wheels, they generally, try to run the balance of two things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe coming to a load rating that's more sufficient for the vehicle's needs, and also trying to come up with ways to increase the strength and rigidity without necessarily needing as much load rating, right? But at the end of the day, we're as much material. I want to be clear about that. So that's what we've tried to do with the Ultragram, and I'm super pumped to see kind of what comes out of it. And I think that I think a lot of the racers are, and a lot impressed. Of our motorsport people, I think that they're gonna happy. they're gonna be like, man, like a lot of the stuff that we said, like, oh, they really use this stuff.
Yeah. It's implementing feedback, right?
Yeah, and listen, and these are the things that, like, it. I mean, all right. So personal, I usually try not to do stuff like this, but like on a personal level, these are the things that genuinely bother me when I read comments where people try to compare us to other wheel companies or other things, and I know how much time and effort we put in to this development. I know how long we worked on this wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I know how many times we sent this wheel back to make a small little change. I know how many times they said, oh, we can do this. We can also do this. And we said, no, let's try this. And they're like, well, I don't know. And then we mm-hmm. do it. And they're like, well, it did come out stronger, but I bet you we can do this. Like, the back and the forth, the time that we spend to just get every little thing right. And then then we get down to it, and we're a month late, and people are like, well, there's a reason all this stuff happens. But, I wish people can see all that when they started then doing their homework to purchase wheels so that they were comparing kind of The apples to apples. Apples.
Yeah. Makes sense. Well, here's a question I have for you. This might be a little random.
No, I take random at this point.
Yeah, that's all right. But so, you know, when you've seen the arguments for stuff for aftermarket wheels, like people might say stuff like, yeah, they're lighter weight. You might get better gas mileage. You've seen people spin aftermarket wheels in a whole bunch of directions of why.
It's not inaccurate.
Right. But so now through your time working just in general automotive, has there been anything that's ever come to your mind of where people spin an aftermarket wheel in the sense of safety?
I mean, I'm sure it's been done, and I'm sure that there's cases there. I think that, you know, a job of every wheel company is to ensure that they are putting out a safe product, and that safety is obviously our number one concern. And, you know, I mean, look, it's also about properly educating. I mean, there's some places where you could never find a load rating on a wheel out there. And we try to make sure that our load ratings are up and center, including loaded into every single one of our retailers' websites, because it's important that people buy the wheels for their car.
Yeah.
Right?
Properly.
So properly. Yes. Yeah, right, properly. Mm-hmm. So you know, look, I think that there's always going to be that type of thing. I think, you know, as a buyer of wheels, as somebody that's going to run wheels on their car, I think it's up to you to do your homework the best you can to make sure that you're getting exactly what you need for your car and you're getting a quality product.
Oh, and if they're having trouble with their homework,
right,
and they need some answers,
yeah,
they should probably consult expert.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of wheel and tire professionals that can help you. And don't get me wrong, on social media, you know, you can always send us a message or an email or through our website or something. And we'll do our best to get back to you. But, you know, look, we're here to help.
Sure are.
At the end of the day, you know, sometimes I feel like our slogan should be, how can we help? Because I feel like.
Is that someone's slogan already?
Well, I was watching the show New Amsterdam on Netflix.
Never heard of it.
Well, if you have, it turned out to be a very good show. So if you want to watch it, you know, you got my blessing. it's about a hospital and this medical director, and it goes on for many, I think 5 or 6 seasons. But his thing was always, how can I help? You know, and to his detriment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like sometimes, like we spent. There's times, you know this because you've done it, that you'll be working with one person that just doesn't get it or needs help or whatever. And it will take you an hour.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, like, I still have to get through all the rest of this stuff today.
Mm-hmm.
But we do it with a sense of, I mean, look, there's times I pick up the phone. Somebody needs help. They're not really sure. Whatever. Get on the phone. Have to start trying to help this person. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're here for.
We got the rag company said Koenig wheels are the best. We love what you guys do.
You guys are going to make me cry. I can't wait to see. I'm so excited that they're coming to Long Island.
It's also not even just New York. They're coming to the island.
Oh, they're coming to like Long Island.
Cool.
And I am pumped, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to hang out. This is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping we're going to hang out. There's going to be great dinner somewhere in there.
Nice.
A lot of high fives, a couple hugs. And hopefully some nice detailing.
So if they're coming to local, I mean, are you going to suggest the dinner spot? You can take that into your
hands? I was going to suggest a ceramic coating on my car. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I mean, that's a great question. I think there's a high probability of that. I have to see kind of what their plans are. They are in an official capacity here. They're here visiting dealers.
Yeah.
Right? So we know how that is. We go take a cut. Our priority is making sure that we're, you know, getting with their customer. But if they have any other free time that I can occupy or something like that, then I would love to be able to kind of get with them. They have to be some of the best and some of my favorite people in the automotive industry, hands down.
So that's a very nice, serious praise.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? All right, look at us. So I don't know. I mean, that's pretty much the gist of what we're talking about here. I will say, listen, one last thing. I guess we should talk about it real quick. I saw the first really good full depth, in-depth, in the car, like outside of the car, talking about the car for the Integra Type S.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to lie, I kind of want one.
You want one?
I think I want one.
Oh, well, it's not too slow for you?
I didn't say that.
mods do exist.
That's what I'm saying.
But, you know, the car's solid, man. It's solid.
It's the interior it's was really nice. I love that they went to the full integrated, like, digital dash. So it has...
For the infotainment?
No, well, so look, so
you mean for the the integrated digital dash for the
right cockpit, I love that BMW. If you get into some of the newer BMWs, they have like so your what you call it, Dane with hugs, Anthony will do your car, and Levi will give the high fives. Man, this is like the trifecta of amazing, right?
Yeah,
this is amazing. So basically,
that car looks good. I would go for the Apex blue color like that. All right, that thing is solid. 19-inch wheels. Listen, split spoke 5. Oh, it's good. The hood, I like the hood extractor.
They stamped the bumper.
It's good, right? Man. It's good. It's wide.
Okay.
It's man.
We are not going to spend too much time on this. We've talked. First off, I want the white. That's number one.
I go blue all day. All
right. Here's the thing. The BMW, digital dash cluster.
Uh-huh.
It has like where, you know, it will throw your navigation right up to it.
Yep.
And stuff like that. This looks to have all of that. The exhaust is cool. And as my good buddy Troy had mentioned, when I was on the podcast a few weeks ago and I mentioned about the 5 horsepower, I imagine comes through a tune. Troy has corrected me, and I stand corrected, that most of the change has come within the exhaust changes that they've made on the car. Now, the only question I have, and this is why I still can't believe it doesn't come a little bit through tuning, is no matter how many times you toot your own horn, am I wrong that the, at least appearance-wise, from what we can see so far, appears to be the same as the Type R? I mean, three exhaust. It's the same type of exhaust. I'm just saying, I know there's some stuff under there. I'm sure that there's some different things they did with, you know, flowing and different things. Now, wait a minute. Hold on 1 second. That car did not have the digital dash.
I think it is.
What, you think that's a gauge preset?
Yeah.
I think the one I saw looked very much like the BMW.
You can definitely just switch it.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
See, that's super cool.
I think you could just switch the cluster.
You know, look, Honda's been known for coming up with higher quality pieces included in their car. So I'm hoping that
it's digital.
Yeah, I know. It looks digital. So then,
Fooled.
I thought I was getting punked.
Yeah.
I thought I was getting punked. But I love the fact that they stamped into the bumper like the old Integra.
The deboss badging, yeah. Look at that. Cargo space looks nice, man.
A little sub worked in. So you got some stuff there. I like that. It's going to be sick.
I'll put this into a really short one-sentence thing for anyone who's listening. If anyone's listening out there, Scott, this is my words to you and anyone else over there. This is the greatest front-wheel drive car ever made. It is.
Oh, wow.
It is. Find me another front-wheel drive car that's better than this. That's why it's so cool.
Now, wait just a minute. Saying, wait a minute.
It's the best front-wheel drive car ever made.
All right.
Tell me another one.
I'm going to give you a full stop here.
All right.
Before you play yourself.
I'll play myself.
We have not seen the Type S pinned against the Type R yet.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
This has a better interior. It's a more luxury car. It's just better. Even if the Type R wins in a little race and at a dig, who cares?
All right. So let's talk about cars that you think this is better.
Because then some guy's gonna tune this thing up to 1,000 horsepower, and then another guy's gonna tune the Honda Civic up to 1,000 horsepower, and they'll argue until they die.
Okay. Is this car better than a Crown Vic driving in reverse?
Probably.
All right. It's a pretty good car then.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, the wide body is really nice looking.
Yeah.
The exhaust is nice looking.
I think the wheels are actually pretty nice too.
I mean, I wouldn't get carried away with yourself. but I love the stamping. I mean, that color is really nice too. So I think they did, this is it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But The thing that does bother me is I still think it's unfortunate that the carbon fiber package is definitely going to be an option now.
Mm-hmm.
That's confirmed. So it looks like they're going to come with a black spoiler and a black mirror cap as, I guess, I don't want to say an option, but like that's color finish wise. It'll be, yep. And then if you want the carbon
package
piece, yeah, you have to pay for that. But
there's a lot of companies that are doing that, carbon packages.
I know, but
even the previous FKA Type R had a carbon package.
You know what it is? I wanted Honda to do that thing where it's like, all right, here's the Type S, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's the Type R, cool, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know what it is, you know what you're getting. Here's a cushy Type S, but also has all the coolness,
mm-hmm.
and we're giving to you, like, let's say hypothetically MSRP is what, 44 on a Type R?
44, yeah, it's 45, yeah, right around
you
there.
Can't get it for that, but that's, you know,
yeah,
what I'm saying,
MSRP is that, yeah, right. 44 something.
I was hoping that like this car would come in somewhere between 48 and 52, but be like only one option way, comes with the carbon package, comes with all the features, you know what I mean, like, mm-hmm. you can't spec the car anymore, this is the car, here's your different color options.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was hoping for.
So one option.
That's what I was hoping for. I don't want to have this thing where it's like, build this, add this. I don't want the dealer adding. I want, give me the car.
Ooh, you know what car gives you that one option thing?
Hmm.
Volkswagen Golf R.
Here we go again with this car.
No, we're good. I'm done. Here.
Wait,
we go.
No, but the best front wheel drive. That's
all wheel drive.
Yeah, but all right, whatever.
It's all wheel drive.
I don't want to go down this road.
But I'm just saying.
So anyhow, so that's it. Weigh in on your opinion down below, or send us a message. We got anything going on there?
Better than an FKA Type R, and that's actually my buddy right there, Jeremy.
Yeah,
he has an FKA.
Okay,
so he's
so Jeremy. Nice to meet you. I hear good things. Yeah, right.
Better than an FKA.
Yeah, it's better than. It's gonna be better than an FKA.
So,
I'll tell you. I mean, I really do like the car. That's an FK8, isn't it?
That is, yeah.
I was going to say.
That's an Amazon truck.
That's true. but yeah, so like, I don't know. I'm pretty pumped. I'm curious to see what's going on. Anyhow, wait a minute. We got Jeremy.
Said, oh, here he goes again with the golf bar. See, everyone's sick of me talking about this shit. So it is what it is, man. But
yeah, he loves that Type R. I mean, he loves that golf R.
What's there not to love? I just don't get it, but.
Well. I mean,
the price is without the love.
Could you imagine? All right, hold on a second.
Yes.
Could you imagine for another $5,000 or $6,000, they make the Type S available in all-wheel drive?
That would be really cool. That would be a serious game changer.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
I would own one right now. Maybe not, but you know what I mean.
Probably not available right now, but.
Anyhow. With that said,
we have some new merch on our store.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got new hats, 47 brand hats.
Stuart.koenigwheels.com.
Yeah. So, you know, if you want to get them, check them out. Cool stuff there. Also new shirt. Rich is wearing the front of it and then the back of it. Well, it's on the website.
Yeah, there's the...
Yeah, I'm not going to make you turn around.
Oh, it's this one. There we go. I'm going reverse in the camera.
Right.
There. Yeah.
So make sure you check it out. Anyhow, that's it for this week. We'll be back here next week. Take care of yourself. Have a good time. Be cool. Do cool car things. Bye. We'll catch you next week.